I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We're going to talk about these gun comments from Joe Biden. I'm going to do a bunch of emails. We'll get into this J.D. Vance, Vice President, mass illegal immigration thing that's coming. All that and so much more is coming up this hour. Remember, you can email me and you should. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's go back to this. Joe Biden, of course, gave a gun-grabbing speech today, trying to whip up his rabid, vile street communist mob at the prospect of having you disarmed. That way they can come to your house and kill you and your whole family, or at the very least threaten to do so if you don't comply. In the end, that's what it's all about, remember. It's all about disarming you. They know the statistics. Stop telling your liberal Aunt Peggy that all the murders happen in Chicago. She understands that. She's not worried about stopping murders. She's worried about stopping you. And this little line that not only is used by Joe Biden, you can hear this line out of Democrat congressmen, Democrat senators, all the different apparatchiks in the media. They love dropping this line.
If they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
I'm not going to do the thing that I could do and talk about how the Taliban didn't have F-15s. But I am going to do this. We've talked a lot. And we will always talk a lot because it's the biggest story on the planet and probably will be for the entirety of my life. When the day they probably fire me off this show, I'll still be talking about the most dangerous situation on the planet. The most dangerous situation on the planet is our government turning its guns inward, turning its guns against us. The people who run the government, they think the American citizen is the most dangerous thing in the world. When Democrats and Republican leadership, when they get together, they have their cocktail parties, they have their meetings behind closed doors, they don't stress about ISIS or Russia or even China, they don't stress about these things, they talk about you. You, the angry citizen, you're mad about your grocery prices. You believe in freedom. You want to be able to say whatever you want. You want to be able to own whatever guns you want, drive wherever you want. You're the one holding them back from doing all the things they want to do, and they have decided to do something about it. And it comes bubbling out of them with this talking point every time. Eric Swalwell has famously talked about nukes. You can't take on the government. We have nukes. So let's just game that out in his head. So, Eric Swalwell, you've thought about nuking U.S. citizens? You've thought about dropping a nuclear weapon on your own people? Joe Biden, all the other Democrats who've used this line. So you've thought about sending an airstrike against the American people? You know they have. That's why they have that talking point. It's what they think about. It's what they dream about. And it's exactly why they bend over backwards now to turn you into an enemy of the state. They pretend we're a democracy. They use that word. We're democracy, democracy, democracy. And then they call you repeatedly a threat to democracy, a threat to democracy, a threat to democracy. Why do they do that? It's not just to win elections. They do that because if they can turn you into not the opposition party, but an enemy of the state, if they can turn you into an enemy of the state, then they can justify using state power against you. And it just comes bubbling out of them. They use this line repeatedly because they've thought about
it. If they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
All the F-15s in the world wouldn't save you people from the American people rising up. I hope you know that. Just never would. But that is why they want you disarmed. That is why. And your Second Amendment, again, it's not about hunting deer, and it's not about stopping robbers. Those are nice side benefits of having one. The Second Amendment is there to stop the government. The evil men who run our government know that. They hate it, and they bend over backwards to try to stop you. And of course, GOPers like Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn help them do so. Dear Conqueror of Algebra, it's not nice. I caught your show for the first time on TV. When I saw you, I winced. And I'm not sure if it was the light reflecting off your balding head or your bright white gopher teeth. I don't have gopher teeth. Either way, I think I will remain a listener only. I'm a 32-year-old submarine vet, and I love the show. You have a way of looking at topics that is more profound than you give yourself credit. Any Civil War books you can recommend that isn't the simple North good, South bad types? His name is Blake. I do, you know, I need to come up with a Civil War list, but it has actually been some years, believe it or not, since I've read a Civil War book. I kind of got sidetracked with the World War II thing, and then I got sidetracked with the World War I thing, and I've been really fascinated with the Napoleon lately, the Napoleonic Wars. And I've been neglecting my Civil War history. No, I don't have one, but I hope to. Jesse, my grandfather, Arthur Sylvester Shoemaker, enlisted in 1939 and was on board the USS Whitney in Pearl Harbor when the Japanese attacked. Guy goes on to say a couple things anyway. He says, please let the bar eat in honor of Lieutenant Commander Shoemaker. We, of course, will. He says, fair winds and following seas, and his name is James. Those old Navy types back then, dude, a different breed. Jesse, as a Marine, do you or any other Marines you know of ever cringe when you hear James Carville identifying himself as a Marine, or as the USMC disavowed him? His name is Gene. Look, this stuff used to bother me. It used to bother me a lot. But we were bothered by many things. Honestly, we were bothered as grunt types. We were bothered that we were stuck in the crappiest part of it, and every pogue in the world would go back and talk about all the combat he'd been through. You know, that stuff used to bother us. And then I used to be bothered a lot by the Democrats. Remember, Democrats in this country have a patriotism problem, and they know that. And I don't mean they think they need to love the country more. Democrats understand that norms and normas who vote Democrat can never find out how much they truly loathe America. And they do. That's why they don't fly American flags. It's not an accident. If a house is flying an American flag, it's never a Democrat house, ever. The Democrat Party is the anti-American party. But they can't let Norm and Norma know that. So here's what they do. They go recruit veterans, and they've done this very, very successfully. You go find a guy who was in the Marines, but he's a moron, so he's a Democrat. And you run him for office and you say, he fought for this country. Look how much we love America. And they show a picture of him in uniform, of course. And that stuff used to get to me so much. But I've let it go now. Look, vets, I'm glad we honor vets. I honor vets. I know you honor vets. But vets can be just as big or bigger turds than anyone else. And I'm sad to admit that includes Marines. You may get a lower percentage when it comes to the Marines, but there's plenty of them out there. I don't let it get to me anymore. Jesse, I agree with you on the topic of garlic bread. I wanted to take it one step further. I prefer homemade garlic bread out of King toast. I don't like the frozen type. I don't usually like the frozen type either. I'm okay with toast, but everyone knows that hamburger buns make the greatest garlic bread out there. All right, now let's talk about this really quickly. Two things. I've told you that I don't want J.D. Vance to be Donald Trump's vice president, and I've told you why. I like J.D. Vance a lot. He's one of my favorite senators, and I don't have very many senators I like. And I know he would be good for Trump. He'd be a reliable ally. he'd probably help win the election. He'd do better with those Rust Belt swing voters. But we lose sight of something so often, especially in election years. We say to ourselves that we do this terribly on the right. We have this terrible savior complex, and we say, well, we'll just get Trump in there and he'll fix it all. But that's not how the government works here. And as soon as we realized how evil the government was, this should have driven it home for us that we need so much more than just the White House. If Donald Trump is to win this November, and he was to try to do something like the things he has to do to save the country, mass deportation of illegals, he is going to need allies in the House and the Senate. He's going to need J.D. Vance there. Here's a headline that pairs nicely with it. GOP funding bill includes billions for UN-backed mass migration to the U.S. That's from Breitbart. Donald Trump is not enough. We need a House. We need a Senate. We need J.D. Vance exactly where he is. That's the truth, all right? And the truth is also this. The $25 extravaganza sale at MyPillow was special. It's unlike any special I've ever seen them have. $25. For $25, you can get what? Well, it's a laundry list of things. That's why they call it extravaganza. What a word that is. You've been looking for some new towels? You can get a 6-piece towel set, $25. The 2-pack multi-use MyPillows, $25. The king, the pharaoh of all MyPillows, the high-end one, the one they have with the Giza fabric on it, any size, $25. MyPillow sandals, if they haven't sold out of your size by now, $25. Those go super fast, so you might want to get on that. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a Hunter Biden conviction day. We'll see how it goes from there. Now, let's touch on something we just touched on really quickly there about the GOP funding bill gearing up to bring in mass immigrants from all over the world at a time where the country is filled up with them, burdening the healthcare system, the school system, inflation going up, the housing market. Part of the reason people can't afford housing anymore is all the illegals we have pouring into the country. And Joe Biden, this shows you the elites. This shows you how committed they are to the destruction of this country and how little they care about it. Here's a headline for you. Biden's investor allies demand mass amnesty before the election because they fear Trump will win anyway. It goes on to discuss men like Kevin Lin, founder of U.S. Tech Workers, but he's certainly not alone. Elite after elite after elite demanding that all these foreigners hostile to this land, violating our sovereignty, taking the jobs, the housing, the school spots, the hospital spots that should belong to American citizens, the people who fund the Democrat Party and the Republican Party at the top levels are demanding that these millions stay right where they are. Now, right back to what I was talking about before, about J.D. Vance potentially being Donald Trump's vice president. I don't think enough people have considered how many Republicans in the House, in the Senate, will oppose with everything in their being any kind of actual border security. Do I need to remind everyone that Trump got about 50 feet of wall built during his 4 years? He wanted to build a lot more. He had roadblocks thrown in front of him, not just by Democrats, but by Republicans at every turn. We have a huge Republican problem. We can't just take every decent Republican out of the House and Senate and put them next to Trump in the White House because he's not running to be dictator. He's running to be president. And we have a Republican Party that is putrid, to put it mildly. And I'm being really nice with that. Putrid. We are going to need allies in many, many different places. Let's drop the savior complex. We need a lot more than just a president. You want me to lay it out for you? How clear is this?
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Pontifus Maximus. First, what's your golf handicap? Okay, well, let's address this really quickly. I don't like to brag about athletic achievement. I've told you before, I played basketball and baseball for most of my life. And I don't like to brag about anything. All right. It's certainly not who I am. And I've told you I wasn't a great basketball player, to put it mildly. I wasn't a great baseball player. But when it comes to golf, I was part of a tournament one time at the Tucson Country Club. It's this really fancy country club in Tucson, Arizona. And no, I wasn't a member or anything like that. It's where all the rich people go. So I knew some of the guys there because I was running for Congress. And they made me part of their scramble. Now, just for you non-golfers, when you're in a tournament and there's a scramble, you play the best ball. So all four of you hit off the tee, and then you go to where whoever hit the best ball, and you play their ball. And this tournament involved handicaps, meaning Chris asked what a golf handicap is. Gosh, Chris, are you kidding me? So if I'm a way better golfer than you, Chris, which I think it's probably reasonable to assume I would be, we could actually take each other on. We need to figure out what your handicap is. A handicap is essentially I'm spotting you some shots that I don't get spotted. How many shots? I don't know. You want your handicap to be zero, really. That's what you're going for. You don't want a high handicap. Mine was in the upper 30s. Chris, it's not good. It's really bad, buddy. It's very bad. I do golf. I can golf, but I've golfed really, really poorly once every year, once every couple of years. You know, the suits want to go out, want to golf. I can golf. I can't break any golf clubs anymore like I used to. I've pulled back on that. So I've managed my temper a lot better now than I used to manage. Anyway, this golf tournament, champions of this golf tournament. I am a golf champion. So you want to talk golf? That's what I am. Now, did we use a single one of my shots on this scramble? No, we didn't. No, absolutely not. We were always just picking up my ball and going to whoever had shot a better ball at that moment. But look, champion is champion. I got the same trophy those guys got. What, Chris? What's my mini golf game like? I'm unbelievable. I'm unbelievable. No, I don't know why you don't believe. I am. I'm unbelievable. You see, it's more about feel than anything else. When it comes to putt-putt golf, when you're staring at the big clown and he's spitting the ball back out, you know, Happy Gilmore style, you get intimidated. Me, I know I'm a champion. Once you're a golf champion, you think like a champion. In fact, the first date I took the wife out on, if you don't count the time we had a blind date, really the first official date we had, I took her out to this pretty nice restaurant called Claim Jumpers, where you get about 30 pounds of food for 50 cents. And then after that, I took her putt-putt golfing. Had to show her the ropes too, Chris. Oh, your technique's a little off. Let me help you out. What? I was trying to help her. Anyway, after all that, we're still married. So, golf champion, and I'll answer the rest of this about the oceans. Do they still protect us? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
She knew lost. She knew so long as she was denied.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's talk about the rest of this thing about our oceans, because the guy asked about my golf handicap, and then he said, I always hear about how blessed we are to have our two big oceans that have always protected us. However, I can't help but think this is just like how the citizens of Constantinople felt until the Ottoman cannons blasted a hole in their beloved walls. Do you feel like a comparison is warranted? And we are overestimating the protections our oceans have provided us as a nation, but we cannot rely on them like we used to. Well, look, here's the thing. Here's a headline from today, believe it or not. Russian naval group shadowed off of Florida by the U.S. In case you haven't been paying attention to the news, we talked about it a couple times on this show. Russia has sent some big boy ships down to Cuba. Now, they say, of course, they're doing this for exercises. Now, this is what the U.S. does. This is what navies across the world do whenever they want to intimidate somebody. Whenever you want to do a little flexing, you gather up some of your big boy ships, you park them off the coast of some country and say, what? What are you worried about? We're just doing some exercises. No big deal. But we're talking nuclear-powered submarines. There's a Russian nuclear-powered submarine currently parked off our coast, the kind that carries cruise missiles. No, I don't think Russia is about to launch an attack on America. I think this is probably more of a Putin thing where he's saying, all right, you're shooting your weapons into our shores, into our borders. Don't forget, I can get to you inside of your borders too. Better keep that in mind. Probably a simple statecraft intimidation tactic type thing. But back to your question. Two oceans, they really have been magnificent for the United States of America. Americans don't fully appreciate how geographically blessed we are. And how could you appreciate that when all your teachers in school just told you how bad the country sucked? Geographically, we are so blessed. We're away from Europe. We're away from all that Middle East crap. We're away from Russia, away from all the turmoil in Africa. We're in a different hemisphere with two gigantic oceans protecting us. And that does mean a lot. Now, to answer your question, which is a little dark and cynical, but it's a very valid question. Hey, I can't help but feel like we've relied on this for too long. But here's the truth. There's going to come a day when those oceans don't protect us anymore. I don't think that's today. I don't think it's tomorrow. As many problems as our military, our Navy, as every branch really is going through right now because of all the cultural Marxist filth in there and the rot and the poor leadership, we still have so many ships, so much technology, so much stuff there. Even if you were to argue that we can't take on any navy in the world, which I think we probably could, other navies can't come here. We might not be able to go over to, let's say, the South China Sea and defeat the Chinese Navy. We may not be able to defeat them on their home ground, is what I'm saying, when they have things they can launch from shore to aid their navy. But they can't come here either. Russia can't come here either and take on ours. But if we're going to fast forward through all that and get a little kind of ominous, dark future thing, look, you brought up a very good point. For thousands of years, the Roman Empire stood and dominated. And then they experienced troubles and troubles and troubles, and soon the empire split. It wasn't just the Eastern Empire and Western Roman Empire, by the way. That's just the one people know, but we'll keep it simple for now. It split east, west. East eventually died away because most of the money-making stuff was in the west. So east died away, and the Western Roman Empire begins being centered around Constantinople. And this wonderful city, or I'm sorry, the Eastern Roman Empire. I mixed those up. The West fell. The Eastern Roman Empire kept on keeping on. Thank you, Michael. Sorry I screwed up my directions here. The Eastern Roman Empire kept on keeping on Constantinople. And they were so famous for their fortifications. And if you ever zoom in, you could do this today. they had so many fortifications, and they had things like a big chain that stretched across the water. You couldn't get ships in. And it just, it was a place that had always stood. And they thought it was always going to stand. But just like every other civilization, it stands until it doesn't anymore. I don't think that's about to happen to us. I don't. But one day it will. And that's just the way it goes. Dear Teach, to be honest, I flinch every time you say history today. I guess because I had such a dreadfully boring history teachers in grade school and high school. However, I always thoroughly enjoy the ride with you as you delve into history. He says, notice I said delve instead of dive. Anyway, your pictorial D-Day program was not only riveting but timely, since no one else on radio did anything close. Why do you think that is? You're one of a kind. Why do I think that is? Why didn't anyone do what we did on D-Day? Well, let me remind you, if you missed our D-Day show, the 80th anniversary of D-Day, that's a worthwhile one to go back and download and listen to with your kids. It's the first hour and a half, 2 hours of the show. It's not even politics. It's just a history story. We talk about the Rangers, what they did that day and D-Day and a lot of the stuff behind it. Something you would probably enjoy. Why didn't other people do it? Well, let me explain something to you. There is, whenever you have a job in radio, it's not a job. Okay, I don't have a job. I screw off for a living. You have a job. And I know this because I've had normal jobs my whole life. Now, I sit down behind a microphone and they pay me to do this. Who gets paid to do that? And so what happens is when you come across one of these winning lotto tickets in life, you know, I shouldn't be here. I'm not any better than anyone else at this. When you come across these winning lotto tickets in life, or like a radio job, they're going to pay me to talk on the radio. What happens is you stop taking chances and you start just doing what you think you're supposed to do, or what the suits tell you to do, or what this radio guy does. I listened to this guy and this is what he did. And you don't want to take any chances, because if you take a chance, if you swing on something and miss on something, what if you get that phone call one day and they tell you, ah, your show sucks. You have to go find a real job now. And so what you get is the most boring, mind-numbing stuff from so many people because they don't want to take any chances. I think I'll just sit down and I'll read this headline about Biden and I'll talk about why he sucks, and then I'll kiss Trump's butt for another hour, and then I'll take some calls, and then I'll go home and I'll come back and do it again tomorrow, 365 days of the year. And you don't want to take any chances or do anything interesting. I've never believed in that. I swing for the fences in life, and it has ruined me many times, and sometimes it works out. We have been very blessed on this show that the show has grown and blew up like it did, and it's done that in part because we take chances. We take chances. You know that I've lost affiliates before? I told a story one time about, it was a hilarious, really gross story about my buddy in a port-a-john in Iraq. And I remember, I won't give out the name of it, but we lost an affiliate. They flat out dropped the show. This is gross. This is stupid. I want to hear more Biden talk. Ah! You know what? Goodbye. This show is so people can enjoy it. And I love history. And on the 80th anniversary of D-Day, if I want to take 3 freaking hours and talk about it, I'm going to, and ain't anybody going to tell me otherwise. Period. And I'm just giving everyone a heads up right now. Pearl Harbor Day is coming up in December. You better gear up for that one. All right? Take chances. When you get that big promotion, don't be safe with it. Take chances. Do the things that got you there. If you're starting a podcast or you do a radio show or whatnot, don't do the same daggone show everyone else does. That sucks. Friggin' boring. Why didn't anyone else do it? I don't know. It's what I'm passionate about. All right? Maybe it's just the chalk. Look, when your testosterone levels are where they're supposed to be or above where they're supposed to be, you'll find yourself being bolder, taking chances. If you're a low T weenie because you've been drinking all the estrogen in the water, it's in the plastics, then you're going to be more reluctant to do things like that. Ladies, you can be bold too. How about a female vitality stack for you? And listen, Chalk has something new. If you want to call or text, listen, here's what you do. You call or text 50CHOQ3000. 50CHOQ3000. And all you say is Jesse sent you, and they'll take care of you. If you're one of these people, you don't want to get online, you want to talk on the phone, 50CHOQ3000. All right? We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember to email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So there's something else I saw today that we should address. A lot of the communist apparatchiks are reporting that the FBI is reporting violent crime is down. Murders and rapes and thefts, they're down everywhere. Violent crime is down. Isn't that great? Well, here's what's happening. The major cities, cities like New York, Nashville, all the commie-run cities, they all know rapes, murders, robberies, everything else is up, 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 and it continues to go up. We're not prosecuting criminals. We're importing more of them. Violent crime is a big, big, big problem. So what they did is what the system always does. They lied. They came up with a way to lie to try to make you question what you see out there. They stopped reporting the violent crime to the FBI. And so the FBI comes up with these statistics now to tell you, crime? What crime? That's all in your head. We've been tracking it and it's all down. It's that. Or they act like it's just propaganda that makes you afraid of getting robbed.
There is a concerted effort to make people afraid of crime. So there's a lot of fear in politics. There are a lot of people in power who want to remain in power that are afraid of losing those positions of power by not supporting police and or criticizing police.
Yeah, you see, it's just a propaganda effort. That's the reason why you don't think the streets are very safe out there. It's certainly not because of all the filth you see everywhere. All right, forget about that. Move on to this real quick before we get to headlines. One more email. Cancer charity apologizes for using cervix instead of inclusive terms like front hole. It's the Canadian Cancer Society, and they issued a statement apologizing for the term cervix, and they corrected it with front hole. I have told you this before, and I think about this a lot. You know that story, that biblical story, Old Testament, Chris, of Lot and his family? And it's the Sodom and Gomorrah story. Everyone's at least heard of it. But Lot, you know, he's residing in these places. And these places are apparently just full of the most degenerate filth in the world. And a couple angels go visit Lot. And the people of the town find out the angels, male figures, are there. And they start trying to batter down his door. Why? So they can rape the men. And Lot is so desperate to protect these angels, right, to keep them from harm, that he actually offers his daughters up to the people of the town. Please don't touch these angels. Here, have my daughters instead. And the men of the town are not interested at all. They said, we don't want the daughters. We want the men. Let us have them so we can rape them. I grew up in an era where whenever I read that Bible story, it made no sense to me whatsoever. I couldn't understand it. I just didn't understand. There's no society that would degenerate that bad. That doesn't even make sense. And it's not that I was questioning God, but it honestly seemed beyond belief. Man, does it still seem beyond belief? But does that seem like exactly the kind of place we're heading to now? Golly.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Six suspected terrorists with ISIS ties are arrested in a sting operation in New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. ISIS already here, already plotting, multi-city sting attempt, rolls some up. Make sure you keep America itself in your prayers. We have some very bad people who've crossed that border, and who knows what they're planning right now. Lawfare. New Jersey announces an investigation into Trump liquor licenses. Well, yes, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't another communist jurisdiction go after Trump, go after his supporters, when no Democrat has been arrested yet to this date? They've had no incentive to stop. Andrew Cuomo to testify before COVID committee on pandemic blunders. They use that word blunders. Andrew Cuomo knowingly put COVID positive people in the one place where they could kill a lot of people, into nursing homes, resulting in the death of well over 15,000 New York seniors, and he got away with it scot-free, and now they're going to call it blunders. This is the kind of stuff I can't stomach. Cuomo should be in prison. Pentagon data reveals U.S. soldiers more likely to die by suicide than in combat. Soldiers being mistreated when they come home, being neglected when they come home, it's nothing new. That's a tale as old as time. But what this country does with our returning troops is disgraceful. It's not a care in the world for them. All this stuff, all this burden has fallen on to private charities, private groups. And man, that is so sad. The White House canceled scheduled press briefings after Hunter Biden conviction. That is just so perfect for the Biden administration. Oh, he's convicted? Oh, got a little cough. I guess we can't have a press conference today. President Biden's longtime aides are linked to family business dealings. No, you don't say. It's almost as if he's just been running a criminal empire the entire time. Moderna's combination COVID flu vaccine is more effective than existing shots in a late stage trial. Don't worry. They've combined the COVID vaccine with the flu vaccine. I'm sure it's safe. And if it's not, all you need is 6 or 7 booster shots. That'll give you the protection you need. Trust them this time, guys. All right. We will be back to do this again tomorrow. You can email me, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Go download the podcast if you missed it. I'm going to go eat waffle fries, and I'll talk to you then. That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.